Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
All right, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. A thrilling, thrilling finish to this one here between the Maple Leafs and the Vegas Golden Knights. The captain, John Tavares, in overtime after the Maple Leafs killed a penalty late in the third period that bled into OT. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with the Leafs Nation postgame. Is brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, and that's three wins in a row now and a milestone night as well for Mike Babcock.
Yeah, milestone win for Mike Babcock. Yeah. The coach is right, although... You know, last couple of games, we've talked about this Mike Babcock-style hockey that he talks, and we'll hear him later on talk what a great a game it was and against Los Angeles. He talked about that. A lot of fans didn't think it was till Austin Matthews and William Nylander scored 30 seconds apart. I don't know so much tonight, Nick, because 38 shots on goal are more than Mike Babcock wants to give up. There were so many penalties as well. I mean, 11 different minors in total. Leafs took five of them, so that's not what Mike Babcock would like. But it was a 1-0 Vegas lead. And then Austin Matthews rips the great shot like only he can do. And then overtime, couldn't be scripted any better. Leafs really played well, the three-on-three. Austin Matthews and Morgan Rielly had a monster shift just before that. And then they get the breakout. Mitch Marner, smart play to John Tavares. And Malcolm Subban, who had a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, he almost got a, he got a piece of it, almost saved it. But John Tavares, just the perfect script. Welcome back, the captain. Big win at home for the Maple Leafs. They'll play home against Philadelphia on Saturday. Then they're gone for 13 out of 16 games on the road. So you want to store a few from home. And they ended up doing that tonight.
You do, and you certainly think it would have to be a happy stroll to the subway right now, Gord. I think, you know...
Everybody stayed till the end. That's
yeah,
one thing about it. When you head into overtime and a possible shootout, everybody stays till the end.
This game got cooking for sure in the third period. Max Pacioretty kicks off the scoring, and I think a lot of credit deserved to be mentioned in the conversation as the Leafs penalty killers, because... we'd be having a completely different conversation if Vegas goes on to score on said power play. Just a bad time to take a too many men on the ice penalty with 1:21 remaining in this game, Gord.
Yeah, you can see Adam Kerfoot knew when he went on, and ouch, and he's the one that went and served it. And as mentioned, I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights took six minors, Leafs took five, so you're talking about, wow, how many minutes, that 22 minutes of power play, one team or the other. Leafs PK was excellent. And the other thing about, and yeah, full marks, goaltenders full marks, Freddie Anderson, first star of the game.
Yeah.
Malcolm Subban, who had not had a good appearance yet. He hasn't played very much, back end of Marc-Andre Fleury. It was nice to see the hometown kid have a real good appearance. And then there was this weirdness about sticks. So the Vegas Golden Knights had a stick on the ice when they're killing one penalty off in the second period, and it seemed to come into play that the Leafs, it nullified some chances that way. And then it happened again just before Matthews' goal. Mitch Marner made the smart, subtle play that you can't pick the stick up and throw it. You got to be careful about that, because the player's got to get a chance to try to get a stick back, the Vegas player. So Mitch just kind of casually skated, and the stick kind of went with him out of the way. Austin Matthews fired it, and near the end of the game, was it Nate Schmidt's stick broke?
Yeah.
And it could have been a breakaway for the Leafs with 10 seconds left in regulation. Schmidt made a smart play, kicked it back towards Malcolm Subban.
Just getting started, excuse me, here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. The Maple Leafs winning it in overtime, their third consecutive win, 2-1 the final, 2:27 remaining in OT when John Tavares fired home a 2-on-1 pass from Mitch Marner. We've seen that connection before, but it's sort of interesting to draw correlations to the conversation we like to have quite a bit. With Toronto's backup goalie situation, you look at Malcolm Subban. I think that's the one thing you need sometimes is to give your team a chance to win, and that's a major takeaway from Frederik Andersen. He was outstanding in this game, and that is the drop-off, in my opinion, when it comes to the number one and two, especially here in Toronto, is sometimes you need your guy to step up with large saves, and I think we saw both goalies go back and forth tonight.
Well, I mean, Freddie Anderson hasn't lost in regulation time in a long time. I think it's nine starts that he has not lost in regulation. And Michael Hutchinson, you hope he's expected to play Sunday against Chicago. And if you're a Leaf fan, you're hoping he plays like Fleury did tonight. Excuse me, like Subban did tonight, like Malcolm Subban did tonight in place of Marc-Andre Fleury. That's what you hope. I mean, he's really needing that one start, and they haven't won with him in goal. And we bring it up, because it's a fact. We're not picking on them, but it's a fact. They haven't won when the backup goaltender's played, and that's going to have to be a big part to have that confidence to put him in. So hoping he can do on Sunday what Subban did tonight. But, yeah, Freddie Anderson, You know, you get that kind of goaltending. That's a huge part of why this recent streak. Leafs are 4-1-1 in their last six games. A little bit nice streak. And Freddie Anderson is the number one reason for it.
He was outstanding, simply put, in this game with 37 saves in this 2-1 OT victory for the Maple Leafs. The winner, John Tavares. And just a quick comment on him, because his second game back after missing seven due to the broken finger, I thought he was way more noticeable in this one than he was against LA on Tuesday.
Yeah, it really was. And it was just the Marner-Tavares tandem, which knew no peer last year,
yeah,
seeing it reemerge in that particular goal. And as we were talking about, Mitch Marner's having what it seems like a pedestrian season, but he's still scoring at a 100-point clip.
Yeah.
You know, he still is. It's just about the whole scene, what we saw there with that overtime goal. We haven't seen enough of that. We got a little spoiled when they do it, that incredible wizardry they can do. So it's been nice seeing those. Like, whereas Auston Matthews so much is that shoddy wires like he did tonight, where those guys, it was just those incredible give-go, tic-tac-toe plays between Marner and Tavares like we saw for the game winner.
Plenty ahead here from Scotiabank Arena, a 2-1 OT victory for the Maple Leafs. John Tavares, the OT winner for Toronto. Post-game reaction coming away, including Mike Babcock, John Tavares, and, of course, our nightly sit-down here with Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena, playing in a 2-1 OT victory for the Maple Leafs against the Vegas Golden Knights. That's now three wins in a row for Mike Babcock's squad. Again, the eighth coach in NHL history to 700 wins, I believe, is Mike Babcock. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. In a couple moments, we'll set it down to the Mike Babcock podium. We'll see if he cares at all about his milestone tonight. But all in all, trending in the right direction. Tavares back. Zach Hyman still to come, you would think, in the next week. And next thing you know, it's three wins in a row for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and Mike Babcock, taste, this could be his last milestone he has as head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm not trying to put his head on a platter.
No,
I'm not trying to put his head on a platter, because it's the playoffs that'll make that decision. We all know that.
Correct, yes.
We all know that. So that's just out there. So the point being is, the more hockey they can play and bank points, get in the playoffs, figure things out. The defensive pairings, they seem to be figuring out a little bit more. Travis Dermott coming back has been a positive. Him and Hall right now are a real good five
and
six.
Very steady.
So I'm not being a smart aleck about Mike Babcock. I mean, it could be the first of many other milestones. Maybe he'll coach his 1,000th game as the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But for the first time in Mike Babcock's career in Toronto, you know that there are demands on him this year, and it's all about the playoffs.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and I think you're totally right. Like, it's not a coincidence in my world that Travis Dermott comes back into this lineup, and it's more of a smooth transition out of the zone for the Maple Leafs. That's one of the things I've noticed the last couple games, is they've cleaned up their act in their own zone, haven't they?
And Travis Dermott, what you notice about him is you don't notice him. In a great way.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't yet have the Morgan Riley like end to end rush thing, although he had a good rush, couple of good rushes the other night. He's got a bit of that. That's the thing. He's very tidy, very smart, very no fuss, no muss. And you know, we talk about adjusting coming back from injury, and in John Tavares's case, certainly that last game, you know, took him a bit. In that Dermott's case, he came back right away, and he's playing a tougher position.
He is, and again, he by the game, I think he's getting more back into it, and I think he's a guy in the past that maybe was underappreciated for what he brings, and I think we saw that in the first 10-11 games, whatever he missed to start this season, in terms of how important Travis Dermott, a guy even like Travis Dermott, is to this Maple Leafs team. And I thought he was solid once again in this game, and I think you're totally right, because how many times we bring that up with Marty Marincin, like, if you notice him, you know there's an issue, and we noticed him way too much. And now you look at the 5-6 pairing again. Justin Hall has really, really settled in for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when we look at the top four, Jake Muzzin didn't get any 3-on-3 time, which Morgan Riley did, but Jake Muzzin played the most time, 24-32. And if you're looking at Jake Muzzin, Tyson Barrie, you know, Cody Ceci, who you look to try to sign in the offseason, obviously Jake Muzzin is that guy. He and Morgan Riley, Jake Muzzin may be the best defenseman all season long. Talk about getting acclimated, right? It took about a third of a year last year to do it, but he had another strong game. He's had a different kind of presence, which you need on that Maple Leaf team.
Yeah, I think Muzzin is of vast importance clearly on this team, but I think he brings a lot of intangibles and the physicality that you would need in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I thought he was good against Boston there in the first round last year, and I thought he was very physical with Vegas, because we know what Vegas and how much skill and speed they bring in the top six. And I think that's going unsaid maybe on this night as the Maple Leafs maybe a little more attention to detail. I know Marchessault had a couple of chances and splashes late in this game. Frederik Andersen, again, a prevailing story. He was outstanding. But defensively speaking, the Leafs are starting to get their game in order the last couple.
Yeah, they are, because we knew about the unevenness of Cody Ceci, Morgan Riley early on, trying to figure out things as a pairing. Another one tonight we talked, and there was a game last week that there were 15 minors, like 8 to one team, 7 to the other. We mentioned 11 tonight, 6 to Vegas, 5 to the Maple Leafs. And, you know, by and large, it's the thing that's, you know, you used to call them chintzy penalties, but in this case, you know they're called. That's what it is. So if you put your stick in for a little bit of a hook, if you put your arm in a little bit for a little bit of a hold or a little bit of a tug, they called it. There was a zero tolerance tonight about that. And, again, I can't speak for the Vegas Golden Knights because they're not going to be happy about that, but that's still something Mike Babcock has talked about. So even though the Maple Leafs do win 2-1 in overtime tonight, it's something you don't want to be taking 5 minor penalties a game. And, again, none of those, you know, must-take ones where you're preventing a goal. Holds, hooks, and the too many men on the ice.
You're right. They were warranted for sure, and I just had a sour taste when seeing a too many men on the ice penalty with 1:21 remaining. I don't know if it's just me, and again, I do watch a lot of hockey around the league, but the Maple Leafs have taken a lot of too many men on the ice penalties lately.
Well, Don Cherry will always talk about the one, and I actually was there. I was in the Montreal Forum press box working when the big one in the playoffs that made a decision between the Boston Bruins and Montreal Canadiens. So you couldn't get a more unfortunate late in the game penalty than that. But I don't know how it stands among the league. I really don't know.
I got our statistician on that.
But there's no question. You know, it's one that the coaches get blamed. Usually it's a certain player. That means two players that didn't. And you can see actually John Tavares' frustration at the bench.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's not, you don't take that with less than 2 minutes left in regulation time. Once you do, kill it. And they killed it really well. And goes back to the PK, which really had a fluidity and didn't panic and was a real strength tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I thought the ultimate irony in this game happened in the third period. And, again, we're standing by for Mike Babcock's podium. The fact that the Maple Leafs tied this game on the power play, which looked at times dreadful in this hockey game, Gord, just being very too skilled, and they got to keep it simple, I think, going forward here.
The power play is perplexing. It just is, and a lot of it is, we go back, and the Leafs figured out in Vegas, too, that play that they make the Bobby Orr style rushes from behind and come at full speed, and teams are just reacting a bit more and aren't going right back and giving you the full speed. They're trying to be a little disruptive when you start. And then the other part is I think they make some great passes, and too often they're trying to make that one too many pass that way. So, you know, but the big thing is, and of course tonight was North Toronto Baseball Legends Night here, and Howie and Pamela, Ted and Pam, they were here, and they just said that they love the game. So the fans go home happy. The North Toronto Baseball Legends and anybody else that was here stayed till the end and went home happy.
Exactly. That's the important part, certainly. I think when you look at this game tonight, a 2-1 win, OT thriller. John Tavares, the captain, his second game back from a broken finger from Mitch Marner. We've seen that play a million times before, but they started to get their mojo back a bit, and I'm excited to see what happens when Zach Hyman comes back, if this line can get that chemistry back from last season.
Yeah, it really was. It was a great fit on that line. That was the one most consistent line. And some people kid about Zach Hyman being teacher's pet or coach's pet, but I think everybody understands the role he plays and the fit he plays. When they weren't winning, it's like he was the Hart Trophy winner that they were going to need, but come back a little bit. He's not quite in that class, but he's just been a great fit since the word go, and it looks like he is getting close. Although Mike Babcock, I thought we had them there, but I was looking at the pregame stuff when he talked about eating an Italian sausage at a Toronto FC game, how much he liked it, and then he said he had nothing to tell you about Zach Hyman when somebody asked at the end. So I don't know if that means, you know, a chance of coming back Saturday. Doesn't sound like it, but after that 13 out of 16 games on the road, so you'd have to think at some point, and hopefully early in it, Zach Hyman will be back playing in the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup.
It means buzz off. We're not going to tell you anything. He obviously knows something. But, yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's got to be in the next week that Hyman comes back. And what do you think in terms of corresponding moves? Does it seem like it's going to be Jason Spezza the odd man out here?
First, I'm wondering, what's with Mike Babcock now that his post-game pressers are like 20 minutes later? I know that Steve Stavro used to go in and have a shot of whiskey with Pat Quinn. He loved Pat Quinn,
and that was
right?
It. Yeah.
So that took a little bit of time, the owner and the beloved head coach in Babcock's case. I don't know, usually he's pretty quick.
Maybe he goes for a run or something.
Could be. He always has that look when he goes for a run during the day. Yeah. I've seen him. You've seen him run around the building.
He's always sweaty.
From time to time. Well, so am I, but for different reasons, just getting around my day-to-day life. But in Babcock's case, that. So I don't know what it is. He hopefully will be joining us any time, any moment about it. He should. He'll talk about it being, I don't know. I'm going to find out because 38 shots he doesn't like. So unlike the L.A. game, because the L.A. game, they kept him to a low number of shots and shot attempts. And that's a big thing. He wants to, you know, get the stress with the team to cut down on those things.
That is three wins in a row again for the Maple Leafs. A 2-1 OT win against the visiting Vegas Golden Knights, who are on their longest road trip of the season, by the way. Toronto's going to be on the road a lot. Here's Mike Babcock.
Mike, was there an ad-lib capacity to Austin's goal in the power play that might bode well with the man advantage moving forward, do you think?
Boy, just shot it. So, I mean, you know, obviously we had some real good looks. We had some real good power plays that didn't score. And then we had a couple that were hard to watch. But if you look at it, both teams tonight, the penalty killing was real good for both teams. And, you know, they didn't get much done on theirs, and we didn't get much done on ours. And yet in the end, you know, we're fortunate to win the specialty teams battle tonight and win the game. So good for us, important shot, obviously. And then to win it in overtime, Freddie made some big saves for us. It was a good night.
Did you think it was as beautiful a game as winning against Los Angeles?
No, what I would say is the game was way higher end, obviously. They're a real good team, and they're heavy, and they're fast, and, you know, we got a great top six. I like their back end, and I thought Subban played well. I thought it was a good game. I thought we were better in the first. I thought they were better in the second. I didn't think there was much to pick between the teams in the third.
So what happened on the bench point there, Mike?
Well, one guy went on the ice, and the other guy wasn't off. You have a chance to do it. We've now... That'll be our third one. The one was just at the end of the game near the one night there just for padding your penalty kill stats. But this one tonight could have been, you know, a big deal. Guy going on, can't go on before his guy is. It's just simple. Now, we didn't touch the puck or anything. I haven't seen the overhead of all that to see whether it was or wasn't, but I'm sure it was.
How do you assess Freddie's play? Basically, since Saturday versus
Well, I mean, obviously, I think we're 4-1-1 in our last six. Is that right? So, you know, he's been playing and he's gotten better just like each year. You know, kind of gets through October and then seems to kick it into gear and gets feeling good. You know, he's an important player for us, a big leader for us, and we need him to make big saves.
Said this morning, you know, just breathe. Are you noticing the group loosening up a bit?
Well, that's what we said before the power play there. Like, come on. Lighten up, your fellas. Let's just go out there and breathe a little bit and do what we're supposed to do. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is we're getting to know each other. I've said this a number of times. I don't know if anyone believes that, but it's easier to play with people you know. And over a period of time, you're going to get to know each other. And I think this road trip we have coming up will be real good for us that way as well. But it appears like the guys are starting to have more fun and interact more. I see more abuse. Which is, I don't know if that's, I think that's a great thing, but, you know, a lot of fun, having fun together, and that's once you get to know each other a bit.
What's the possibility of Zach by Saturday?
I don't think Zach's coming until next week. I don't know all the details, but they give me a heads up, and so I don't think he's around until next weekend, and I don't know why.
Thanks, Coach.
See you guys.
That was a Babcock all-timer from beginning to finish, ending there with this. His update or lack thereof on Zach.
Too many men on the ice penalty. If you go on the ice, and it's too many men. And actually, he made Kerfoot serve it. You saw Kerfoot come on, and he didn't touch the puck at first because you're kind of wondering, what are you doing? Vegas has a pretty good rush there. And that's because he kind of looks, and whoever was supposed to go off hadn't gone off, so he realized that he jumped the gun. But you're right, there's some funny Babcock moments there a little bit. He didn't talk about it being a beautiful game. Like against LA, he just talked about it being a better opponent, which it is. Vegas is a real strong opponent. This is a nice win for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And one other point I want to make is a point you made was Austin Matthews. He didn't even look when he shot. This was a new thing to him, wiring that shot in basically 1 centimeter of space, is that he did like the no look shot, like, you know, the no look pass in the NBA. That's what he did when he wired that sucker in.
he's such a great game breaker. And you look for John Tavares too. You look at Mitch Marner. Nylander had an up and down night, we'll say again. But I think that's what constitutes being a game breaker, is just the ability when things are not going well. And again, there's a reason why these guys get, you know, getting paid top dollar, is for moments like that. A bear down type moment, and I think we saw it in this game. Mike Babcock alluded to it. That power play at times was putrid to even watch. The fans booed them after a power play in the second period, but to bear down
just
and late score
that
the goal,
seconds,
it was. But even Matthews scores that goal. I don't know if you noticed, he had the puck on his stick for about a minute and 20 of 2 minutes of the whatever it was of that power play. Like his commitment to trying to do something offensively was full worth there, and that's just a big time goal for this team considering Vegas scored the first goal of the game.
Yes, at the end of the day, it goes back to the first star, Freddie Anderson, keeping them all in as well, because when they were down 1-0, almost were down 2-0 seconds later.
Let's go downstairs now and join Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Chris, first off, great, fantastic question to go off last game and the beautiful game that Mike Babcock loved so much. A bit of a different one tonight, eh?
Sorry, I missed a question there, Nick.
Oh, I'm saying I like the fact that you piggybacked off last game where Mike Babcock was through the moon about the Maple Leafs' performance. A different type game, I would say, tonight than last game, no?
For sure. I mean, you know, the Golden Knights are one of the top teams in the league, and you know, I think in some ways they feel that they're in a similar boat to the way we've talked about the Leafs, and that, you know, they've put some points in the bank but don't yet feel like they're at their highest level yet. And, you know, that was a pretty tightly played game. There wasn't a ton at even strength. You know, certainly Vegas had a strong second period. They put a push on there, and Frederik Andersen, you know, kept it scoreless going into the third. But you know, I thought it was a pretty good game. And you know, after potentially being the storyline for the wrong reasons, you know, when the Leafs missed on their first five power play opportunities, they managed to cash in on the sixth one, and that gave them the chance to get a victory here tonight.
You know, one thing as we talk about different elements, and maybe you want to get some more scoring, whatever it may be. At the end of the day, a win is a win is a win. And at the end of the day, the D seem to be figuring things out a bit more, don't they? As opposed to early on, Cody Ceci was trying to learn to play with Morgan Riley and vice versa. That I don't know whether it's the fact Justin Hall has kind of been a stable number six defenseman. Travis Dermott's back, but there's way less running around.
There is. You know, Cody Ceci was saved from his gaffe there because he did passed the puck to Max Pacioretty on the goal that Vegas scored, or, you know, failed to clear it past the stick. But I would agree in general. I mean, not quite as scrambly as it's been at times, and you know, I think they're finding their way somewhat. I mean, getting Dermott back, in my eyes, is you know, a huge deal. And you know, I don't want to make too much of just the four games he's played, but I do think that, you know, having him on the bottom pairing, when I watch a guy like Nate Schmidt play for Vegas, I mean, to me, that's the kind of player that I think Dermott can blossom into. He's assertive with the puck and can skate well, and, you know, makes good reads. And so, you know, as Dermott gets more comfortable, I think he and Hall, you know, have a real, real promising pairing for Toronto in terms of just getting the puck out of the zone and getting back on offense. And you know, that's a bonus from where they were a year ago with their bottom pairing. You know, I think CeCe still is in some ways finding his way. You know, Riley hasn't had you know, the kind of starts this year maybe finished last year with, but, you know, we do expect that he's playing with some degree of an injury given the five or six practices he's missed here in the last couple of weeks for maintenance. So, you know, it's a work in progress, but I do think you're seeing some good things from the group, and, you know, getting some stout goaltending behind them is makes everyone look better as well.
Yeah, that's exactly where I want to go. Like, do you think at this point we still undervalue the importance of Frederik Andersen to this Maple Leafs team? He made some huge saves late in this game, especially on that PK late.
Yeah, we shouldn't. You know, I thought he was totally dialed in tonight. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. It's as simple as he struggled in other Octobers, and there's something about the start of the year that seems to trip him up. But, I mean, really what you want from your goaltender, obviously you want him to steal every game. That's not realistic. I think you want something you can rely upon, and you know, you just have to go and look at his save percentage the last four or five seasons. It's been 916, 917, or 918, I believe. I mean, basically the difference of a goal over, you know, 100 shots is the difference over entire seasons for this guy, and you know, he's been really solid and reliable since the Leafs picked him up from Anaheim a couple years ago, and yeah, I think you're seeing him now in one of those stretches, and we've seen a number of them during his time in Toronto where he gets locked in and goes on a string of games where he just looks unbeatable. I mean, really tonight, if not for a play where the defenseman gave the puck away to the forward while he was out of position, you know, that's potentially shutout for him in this game. And you know, he just seems to be, you know, super locked in on what's going on. Didn't feel like he would be beat. And you know, John Tavares afterwards said he deserved all three stars. So I think that's about as high a compliment as you can get from one of your teammates after a game.
Well, and that leads to the next thing, Chris. We won't talk to you Saturday because you'll be part of Hockey Night in Canada. But Sunday in Chicago, if it goes as expected, I mean, Michael Hutchison has to have the kind of game that Malcolm Subban had tonight. That simple. I mean, comparable situations. Subban hadn't played much, hadn't really had a great game. What a great game he had in front of his hometown family and friends. But that remains the next big question. I guess we'll find out again on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, the Hawks still have a few dangerous scorers. You know, that DeBrincat's pretty good. Obviously, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves, Dylan Strome. But, you know, that isn't the Hawks team that we've come to know and, you know, in the last decade. And so, you know, playing in that building's not easy. You know, playing on the second half of back-to-back. You know, it's a sixth local start after they play a seven start here on Saturday against Philadelphia. So there's going to be, you know, some mitigating factors as there have been for all Michael Hutchison starts. But, you know, there's that game does offer an opportunity for him maybe to change some of the conversation around, you know, his play. And I think it's important for the Leafs. I mean, the reason Subban's starting tonight, it's not a back-to-back for Vegas, is, yes, it's his hometown, and they've liked what they've seen of him, but, you know, they're trying to play Marc-Andre Fleury a little less this year because he was relied upon pretty heavily last season. And, you know, I think that's going to be another conversation we get back to with Frederik Andersen as the season goes along. I don't believe the Leafs want to just give him back-to-backs. I think that they really want to build in a little bit more rest for him. And, you know, for them to feel comfortable doing so, I think, first of all, getting some wins strung together, as they've done now, first three-game winning streak of the season helps. But, you know, obviously if Michael Hutchison can play well in his minutes, that makes it a little bit easier to send him out there maybe in some situations that aren't just on the second half of the back-to-back.
All right, Chris, great stuff. Thanks so much.
All right, boys, thank you.
There you have it. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. It's time for the VTech call of the game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit Sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Carlson takes the pass on the left wing, gets into the Leaf end, puts the brakes on, trying to slide it around, lost the puck. Marner starting back with Tavares against Carlson. Marner closing in to Tavares. Scores! Holy mackerel! Some magic from the magician! And Tavares finishes!
I love that. Great call from the Hall of Famer Joe Bowen, the outstanding Oakvillian himself, John Tavares, the pride of St. Thomas Aquinas in Oakville as well, scoring the OT winner for Mitch Marner. We've seen that connection time and time again early on here.
Boy, you're giving a whole bio about him. Yeah,
from Oakville.
We saw it last year. It was instant karma, instant chemistry. As a matter of fact, that was something that attracted and appealed to Tavares coming to Toronto, the chance to play with someone like Marner, and we saw it. Boy, just perfect. Malcolm Subban almost got it.
Yes.
He got a piece of it. That would have been a phenomenal save.
That was just a great shot. Like, you look at, you know, you look at John Tavares, and again, he spent a long, long time with the New York Islanders as their captain, but he came over. The two things I noticed right away, how excellent he is in the high tip zone.
Yeah.
Very Joe Pavelski, you know, in terms of his hand-eye coordination. And number two, the way he shoots the puck. Like, it's not a quick release like an Austin Matthews, but when he pinpoints every shot, it seems, mm-hmm. And that was a great shot upstairs.
And he plays in the blue paint.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of guys play in the blue paint, so there's a lot of things we got to enjoy last year, and we'll get to enjoy it more on the road in the next little while.
Not to mention, of course, for sure, you watch, you know, John Tavares on a nightly basis. We pick things up in the first period too on a back check. You don't notice those little things, but there's a reason why he wears the C for this Maple
Leafs
team.
Well, would have been that play you're talking about, John Tavares of St. Thomas Aquinas High School. It would have been a very quick 2-on-1, but he quickly was the guy who made the extra surge, so it wasn't. But if you blink, you miss it, because he reads the play so well and reacts so quickly.
Yeah, the disappointing thing about the whole conversation is some would argue he's from Clarkson and not Oakville, but I'm going to go with Oakville because that's my second home outside of Montreal. So a 2-1 OT win here for the Maple Leafs in overtime. John Tavares the winner. It's Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick, other saddle. Wrap things up, and we'll have a look around the NHL. 11-game Thursday night. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers.
blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. The Toronto Maple Leafs, an OT win against the Vegas Golden Knights. John Tavares, the hero, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. And again, we mentioned it earlier, the Maple Leafs on the road a lot in the month of November, not November. You like my Muzzy. I know you do, Gord. Next opponent before they hit the road and start in Chicago on Sunday night, it's the Philadelphia Flyers. It's like deja vu all over again on a Saturday night, although this time it's at Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah, and then they'll have be in Chicago Sunday. As you talk about Michael Hutchinson's schedule, start then. And then next Wednesday, you mentioned a building you'd want to go down to, what was called Nassau County Coliseum. I think it's still called
the Collie, yes.
Yeah, so against the New York Islanders, who... 10-game straight winning streak ended tonight, even though they were up 3-0. They still get a point out of it. The Pittsburgh Penguins came back. But the Islanders still remain the hottest team in the NHL right now.
Bizarre fashion to blow that lead the way they did. So, once again, a 2-1 OT victory here for the Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena. John Tavares, the hero, will hit the break, wrap things up after this. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, for the final time, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. 3 wins in a row for your Maple Leafs after this 2-1 OT victory against the Vegas Golden Knights. John Tavares, the winner. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. Leafs Nation postgame is brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. An 11-game Thursday night, Gord, in the National Hockey League. How about this? 5 of the 6 games that have ended now have been decided in overtime. That type of night here.
Yeah, it is. You know, different ebbs and flows. Sometimes they're high scoring, sometimes low scorings. It's not close, and you can't get much closer than that, this game included.
Okay, we'll start in Ottawa. 3-2 win for the Ottawa Senators against Tuesday night's opponent, J.G. Pageau. What a hot start for him. His 7th on the year, so the bowl for Lafreniere, I think they're Alexis Lafreniere, a 3-2 win for the Ottawa Senators against L.A. We referenced that New York Islanders win streak put to bed, although they're 10-0-1 in the last 11 games. They blew a 3-0 lead in the third period, and then Brian Rust's his 2nd of the game in OT. Pittsburgh wins it on the road there.
Yeah, big goal for Malkin as well, and boy, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they just show they've had injuries, they bent, and they certainly don't break at all.
And this puts the analytics debate to bed in terms of back-to-back. Henrik Lundqvist made 45 saves tonight. What's the old Babcock quote you like to use about back-to-backs? 29%.
29% the second team wins in the back, or the tired team wins in the second game of the back-to-back, but it's being disproved here, there, and everywhere. The New York Rangers just did it, for example.
Yeah.
Montreal did it last week. On and on and on. So, yeah, it's being disproved.
45 saves for King Henrik. He was outstanding. A squeaky one surrendered by Carey Price in OT. Sean Couturier will take it as 5th of the year, 55 seconds in from Konechny and Provorov. So the Flyers back on the winning track. Price had 40 saves in that game. Carter Hart, the victory for Philadelphia. A wild one in Sunrise, Gord. We went back and forth of this game all night long, and it's the
Tom
Capitals.
Wilson.
My goodness. They win again. Third period goal from Wilson. Then he wins at 17 seconds in OT. That team now, 12-2-3 on the year of the Capitals.
Would have been a nice statement game for the Florida Panthers, who, by the way, are a playoff team right now in the Eastern Conference. They're playing well. They're banking points, but that would have been a nice home win for them, and they had it till the Tom Wilson Express derailed it.
Yeah, happening right now in the second period in Gila River Arena in Arizona between the Jackets and the Coyotes. It's 2-1 for Arizona. Jacob Chychrun, his 3rd from Grabner, and Vinny Hinostroza there. Meantime, in Calgary, it's 2-2 later in the second period, about 6:50 remaining there. Nikita Gusev has been subject of a healthy scratch the last couple games, has a goal and an assist. Jack Hughes scored a highlight reel goal, now up to 4 on the year, and the Devils have to pull the Dallas Stars and get out of the hole here a bit, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And the New York Rangers 4-2 over the Carolina Hurricanes. What I like about here, Adam Fox scores the empty netter. The Rangers on a little bit of a tear. They played Lundqvist back-to-back, okay? They played Lundqvist back-to-back, and I think how, depending how things go in Chicago, if Hutchinson doesn't win, then I think you got to look at not just using him back-to-back, figuring out a relatively speaking, safe spot where you want to give him his next opportunity.
Highly unlikely.
Guys can play back-to-backs. Freddie Anderson can play back-to-backs.
Pepsi Center. So Philip Grubauer goes down for Colorado. Doesn't matter. Peter Francouz into that game starting. And a 6-3 lead right now with 10 minutes remaining in the second period. The Avalanche offense going to work here. Donskoy, Graves, Burkowski, Nieto, McKinnon, Cale Makar. So it's 6-3 in that game at the Pepsi Center. And the last game to touch on, the Chicago Blackhawks up 2-1 after 40 on the upstart Vancouver Canucks. 2 assists so far for Patrick Kane in that game. Alex DeBrincat had his fifth of the year. JT Miller's had a hot start, his seventh for the Canucks.
Yep, absolutely. Vancouver been a real pleasant surprise. And Philadelphia was a team that some people thought could be a pleasant surprise. Their goaltending back on track. It had been a little uneven for a few games. And that's who the Leafs are going to play on Saturday. And looking forward to that here at Scotiabank Arena. And our good friend Christine Simpson is actually going to do a sit-down piece with Chuck Fletcher, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, and Cliff Fletcher, who is still on board as part of the Leaf management team. So that will be something to see, part of the Hockey Night in Canada package on Saturday.
And I encourage all, again, to check out Leafs Nation post-game following that one on Saturday night. As Gord mentioned, the Maple Leafs hosting the Philadelphia Flyers, those two teams tangling for the second consecutive Saturday, last Saturday. Of course, Andreas Johnsson in the 11th round of the shootout winning it. This time around here on this Thursday night, John Tavares, the OT hero, a 2-1 win for the Maple Leafs against the Vegas Golden Knights. Many thanks to Josh Santos, Josh Goldberg. A lot of Josh's here. Vic Palladian, Sam McKee, Gord Stellick, great job. I'm Nick Alberga. A 2-1 win in OT for the Maple Leafs against Vegas. You've been listening to Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers.